Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Mini, and today we're talking about the future.
We're talking about the future, and we're also talking about it in the studio. I've missed being here more than you could even ever believe, George.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, welcome to the lockdown after the lockdown.
This is the lockdown, I don't know, 3.5. How many times did we go through that process?
Well, to be fair, I mean, the reason we weren't here is because a couple of people got COVID in the office, and we just didn't want it to spread.
Yeah.
So we strategically decided to kind of socially distance a little bit. Mm. Not for a very long time. It wasn't lockdown. I mean, it was just really just a precaution.
Yeah. I mean, if you go back when this all started, it's kind of crazy to see how we just deal with it now.
Well, I mean, I think it's got to be dealt with like the flu. I don't think lockdowns are necessarily the answer. Anymore. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the scientist involved.
Yeah. That was the past, but today we've been talking about the future. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of touched on a few of these themes that will be spoken about today. But I had a very interesting conversation with one of my friends who asked me, hey, what do you think is going to be the future of car ownership and, I guess, you know, car buying and selling? And it got me thinking, because I think there's lots of theories out there and everyone has an opinion on what's going to happen. But I wanted to get your opinion because, you know, things have been changing for a while now, and I think you know the game a lot longer than most people do in South Africa. So what do you think are the next few trends, just a few key trends that you think are going to be prevalent?
So, I mean, I think it's all started back in 2000 and single digits.
Yeah. Like 2008.
When Elon Musk
started
with Tesla.
Yeah, I think it was actually it.
I think it was the mid-2000s, yeah. When he started with Tesla. And he proved a few things that everybody laughed at. Now, if you want to be successful, right, at anything in life, you've got to be contrarian.
Okay.
Okay. Because anybody who's a sheep and just follows the status quo or the benchmark, can't stand that word benchmark, right? You follow the benchmark. You're just kind of like copying everyone else.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make, you're trying to make a better horse.
Mm.
So you've got to be contrarian. You've got to be, you know, you've got to float something that has never been done before. Now, 99% of whatever those kinds of people do fail. And 60% of stats are made up on the spot. So
we'll have to go and read into that one and see if that one's true.
but most things that people come up with fail. I mean, it's only the big hitters that you see, right? So Elon Musk, he comes up with the electric car, or should I say he didn't invent the electric car because it was in the late 1800s.
He puts it in the hands of the masses. He finds a way to
make this thing work.
Yeah.
Right. Hardest thing to do in the world is to create another bloody car company.
Mm.
You know, it's not easy to do. And off the back of that, all of these question marks start to arise. Then Uber comes along. And there's this user platform where you can ride from one place to the other without owning the car. I mean, taxis existed for a long time, but a lot of what Uber changed was knowing the price,
mm-hmm.
knowing how long it was going to take for the car to get there. So, you know, a lot of the anxiety of a taxi is – not knowing where they are, what time they're going to get there. You've got to find
who they
are.
Exactly.
Whereas Uber changed that. You can see on the map that the car is, there's an Uber 5 minutes away. So you kind of like get some comfort out of that. So then that kind of started the usership thing. And then we've got the millennials that didn't really want to own cars until lockdown.
Yeah.
And then lockdown changed that a bit too. So given all of these things, there is this question mark, I suppose, over car ownership and whether usership of a car is the future. I don't think it's proven out yet.
Yeah.
And especially now with electric cars, because, you know, it's a functional thing like a phone.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people
the start
don't.
Of something though. Do you think this is the beginning of? Because I mean, this happened. You go across different industries. Things keep changing all the time. Do you think this is the final frontier before we get to a point where we're not even driving at all anymore? It's just purely just.
We have to reach a point that we're not driving at all.
Yeah.
Look at GPT-4.
Mm.
It just hit the world in the last couple of days.
Mm.
Look at GPT-4. And I actually asked GPT this question when you asked me. That's what I was typing.
Oh, yeah.
I asked GPT-4, what is the future of car ownership related to car buying and selling?
What is the AI system?
And the AI says, according to McKinsey and Company, car buying in 2030 will see a far smaller number of luxury brands that still have their own logo and brands attached to the vehicle. Those brands will still appear to certain segments of the customer base. The role of dealerships will change, but they will still have a future.
Do you remember the movie iRobot that came out in 2006 with Will Smith? Every single car in that movie was an Audi. That's kind of alluding to that. And I'm not saying every car is going to be an Audi in the future.
Well, look at the one brand study we did.
Yeah.
Brand's not important.
Yep.
Okay, so that's what that's saying. The next line of GPT says, Deloitte Global predicts that by, and what I like about Bing, because I did this in Bing, I didn't do this in ChatGPT.
Okay.
And Bing apparently is using GPT-4.
Yeah, I think their AI system is better than
Bing. Better than ChatGPT, yeah. So it's because they got citations, you see. So Deloitte Global predicts that by 2035, there will be a shift from car ownership to car usage.
Mm.
Okay, that's Deloitte's predicting that. It's not the GPT predicting it. This shift will be driven by the rise of autonomous vehicles and mobility as a service, MaaS as they call it. The study also predicts that there will be a decline in traditional vehicle sales and after sales.
So that was my next question. Wait, are you done?
I'm done.
That was my next question. And I think I was kind of, you always find a way to just know where I'm going with things. But do you think there's any cause for concern then for industry, people who, you know, people like us, for instance, and the dealership and that sort of thing. Do you think there's any cause for concern? When I say short term, I mean 10 years, because it is going to be a long time before there's anything that you know, fundamentally happens.
Okay, think about the telephone.
Yeah.
Back in whenever the telephone was invented and we had switchboards.
Mm.
You weren't around, I wasn't around either.
What's a switchboard?
Exactly. So you had this bunch of people sitting in a room, right? Yeah. Connecting people with these jack plugs. I don't know if you ever saw.
Yeah, it's kind of like a middleman who's going to, you know, hey, connect me to George. And the person.
So he takes a plug out of this thing, looks like a guitar
jack.
Yeah. And he'll connect it to another line that kind of connects you to wherever you want to be connected to. Okay. Yeah. So in that, there were components, okay? Those jacks, the cables, the boards.
The entire industry is built around
this switchboard.
Yeah.
Okay. And then along comes the mobile phone.
Yeah.
And I'm probably skipping.
Telephone towers and, you know, kind of.
The new steps. That, yeah. I'm skipping a couple of steps.
Okay.
But all of that was redundant. Mm. You know.
A brand new industry was now.
But a brand new skill set, brand new industry, brand new product, brand new aftermarket things and parts was created. Mm. And everybody survived.
Yeah.
So I think the same thing's going to happen with the car. An electric car has a lot less moving parts.
Yeah.
Probably 10% of an ICE vehicle. And so the parts industry has to shift gears to
evolve for whatever that is.
Okay. And then as GPT predicts, it'll go into car usage, which means there will be a drop in car sales.
Yeah.
But there will be other things like services within the car. Like, for instance, Tesla manufactures all of their cars with all of the features. And they switch them on remotely.
Yeah. Yeah, we had an episode about that. Do you, okay. I don't think car sales are going to drop to the point where it's like, I think it's just going to be businesses that essentially own cars. It's going to be services now that are the owners of the vehicles.
So well, servicing has to drop because EVs aren't.
More like a B2B thing versus a B2C thing.
What do you mean B2B thing?
The OEMs will be selling to an Uber, for instance.
Yeah, but you got to acknowledge that there'll be less cars.
For sure, for sure.
As a result.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Because, you know, the number of cars per capita in a country is still surprisingly low.
Mm.
So there is room for growth. So maybe the decline is not as sharp because now everybody gets a chance to use the system versus now only a handful of people being, you know, able to use the system.
Do you want to throw some numbers around in terms of when you're thinking this is all going to reach its tipping point of old tech versus new tech now? This is completely, you know,
tipping point.
We're making the switching points of us, you know, kind of
in South Africa.
In South Africa.
If we think about the numbers, 350, 400,000 new cars sold per annum. Okay. If the current status quo of ownership persists.
Yeah.
It will take us a good 3 decades to get to the majority of cars on the road.
Yeah, majority, like 70%.
Being the new technology, right?
Yeah.
Which then goes to the parts and the aftermarket stuff and the servicing and all that stuff. Now, couple with that usage, as you point out and, you know, GPT points out, couple with that usage, the fleet still has to be replaced.
Yeah.
And so if that 3 decades becomes 2 decades,
yeah,
1.5 decades, it's still going to be a long time, and it's not a binary thing. You know, everybody thinks, oh,
there's like a date where everything just, you know,
like
it's over now.
Suddenly you wake up tomorrow and you're in a new you're in a new world.
100%. I'm a little bit more optimistic. I think it's gonna happen a bit sooner. I've been following around.
Well, it's a good comment that, because look at. I mean, I keep on referring to GPT, but it's because it's such a topical thing right now. The researchers predicted that GPT in its current form, GPT-4,
yeah,
would take 3 decades. I think it was by 2035.
Okay.
Before it would be released to the public, and it's been released to the public in the last week. Like, yeah, you've got to ask yourself, where in 15 years' time.
When did they say it's going to be released in 2035? That was what, when they just released it, or?
That's been the predictions up to now, to before it was released.
Yeah.
Was 2035, not by OpenAI.
Yes.
Remember, OpenAI was a platform that had an open source and.
Yes.
It was non-profit,
right? It was research-based,
yes,
sort,
yes,
of initiative.
That's changed since Microsoft's come on board.
Yeah.
So Microsoft now is pushing it down a capitalistic route.
Yeah.
Which means that they're protecting a lot of the back end, a lot of the source code. So that was, they said that would hit the market by 2035.
It was like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. It was pretty fresh.
And then ChatGPT was around end of last year, and GPT-4 just got released. Okay.
Yeah.
So now you ask yourself, 2023, that's 12 years before it was predicted to be there. And then you got to ask yourself, well, is there any truth in what you're saying? It's going to happen a lot quicker. Maybe.
Yeah, I think the rates of change and innovation, it's almost like, I think it's Moore's Law. It's very exponential.
Mm.
Across the board, and I think we, it's a safe number of this 2050. I think is extremely, you know, I think we can be a little more ambitious than that. In fact, I think we definitely going to be there.
Well, if you think about it, at the longest 2045.
Yeah.
Maybe the next 10 years.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
Stay tuned. We'll be really old and still.
I think you've got to ask yourself, where were you?
Yeah.
In March 2023,
mm,
because in 10 years time, March 2023 is going to have changed the world.
Yeah, 100%. There are 3 trends before we move on to the next topic. So there's 3 things which most people are kind of alluded to, or the big changes or the trends of mobility and car ownership. We already spoke to it, so servitization, so basically services. You know, the Ubers and the Bolts, people just not more usage, ultimately. The second one is autonomous and connected cars. This one here,
well,
I don't know.
You don't see the future of autonomous or connected cars.
I think we're more likely to see an electric future than an autonomous future.
We're
however,
definitely going to see an electric future. Okay, yeah. So let's not say you're more likely. We're definitely going to see an electric future. It's just a matter of how fast that's going to be, as you pointed out.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay? So I'm saying 2045 in South Africa. Mm. The tipping point's going to be anywhere in the 2040s. Just because I just don't see government regulation changing fast enough to incentivize electric vehicles in the country at mass or at scale.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm wrong. I want to sit here next year and say it's not 2040, it's 2035.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know. But autonomous and connected cars, why would it not go down that road?
I think the two, because I think this is a technology discussion now at this point, and I think the two.
Everything's technology.
Yeah, I think they're kind of very connected. I can't see an autonomous car not being electric.
No, it has to be electric. Yeah. Maybe I misunderstood
you. That's kind of, okay. You know, one of the reasons why I think, you know, however, there's something that's
important. I just don't see an autonomous car being a nice vehicle.
Yeah, me too.
Ever.
I mean, how could it be?
Why build autonomous vehicles in an old platform?
Yeah.
Something that's not going to be around in 30 years.
Yeah, like an HD PlayStation 1. Doesn't...
That's like trying to VHS tape in a DVD player.
Exactly. Like an HD VHS movie. Okay, and the last one is new energy vehicles, which we've spoken about, and we always speak about it. But that's essentially electrification. That's kind of where the world is thinking. Well, that's where, you know, the experts will say the world's going to go. And
I think this thing about usership is a little bit independent to electric cars. You know, whether there's usership or whether it's ownership, electric cars are going to happen.
Yeah.
The question mark is over whether usership is going to be the order of the day.
Yeah. For sure.
You know, are the likes of Uber, Bolt, going to be the thing that people use the most versus ownership? And you say, B2B, you know, are all the car sales going to be to those businesses? I don't know. You know, did we go through a stage of usership with horses?
Wasn't born, so I'm not too sure. Yeah. But thinking back,
did you rent out a horse? Maybe rentals in the usership world rather than ride sharing, because Uber and Bolt are ride hailing and ride sharing.
You rent it out for like
maybe the thing is actually just rentals where you don't own it, but it's almost like renting a house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have full access to it whenever you want.
You effectively got the ownership rights, but.
You have exclusive rights to use it.
Yes, you've got exclusive rights to use it. Yeah. Whereas...
But it's not yours.
Mm. Whereas Uber and Bolt are ride-hailing, ride-sharing. You don't have exclusive rights to get in it whenever you want. When the thing drives away, it's no longer yours.
Yeah, 100%. Moving on, that was a really interesting conversation. I think let's come back in here and see where things have moved. So, crazy news. I'm going to start with the first one. I don't know if you heard this story. The new article that came out a few days ago, but essentially there was two thieves who had stolen about 145,000 rand worth of some like gaming equipment and nothing really crazy.
Gamers.
And they tried to obviously steal the stuff, and then they decided to get away with the stolen goods, but they did it in a Tesla Model X. So I'm assuming they wanted some speed.
That was a dumb move.
Yeah, they needed some speed.
Did they steal the Tesla?
The Tesla, inconclusive. Inconclusive,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know whether it was a stolen Tesla or not.
Yeah, I mean, if it was not a stolen Tesla, then wow, these thieves are, they're thieves of the future. But essentially, after they'd stolen the stuff and put in the Model X, they tried to get away with it. About 15 minutes later, the cops were able to find them charging the vehicle at a charging station. with all the stolen goods. And yeah, I mean, they couldn't get away with the stuff, obviously the loot, because the car had died. So there's another plus to having EVs.
Because less of crime. The length of charging time.
Less crime, potentially less crime. So I found that very interesting. And then I found this really interesting article. The headline was, South Africa may look to ban petrol and diesel cars by 2035.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is, do you want to guess why that's the case?
Oh, because we're following our European counterparts.
Close. So we made a pledge a few years ago, a climate pledge, and we're kind of reaching that tipping point now where if it's not by 2035, we'll never reach those goals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of conversations happening right now with the government and everybody who is in the know with regards to how we're going to decarbonize our roads. So, you know, maybe that 2050 thing is a myth. We could do it sooner.
There's a difference between cars on the road,
yeah,
versus new car sales.
Mm.
We could, in a very short space of time,
ban
the production and sales of new ICE vehicles.
Not to say people are going to buy them and then they're going to be on the roads.
It's not to say that the second-hand vehicles will disappear.
Yeah.
Okay. So changing the fleet, I don't believe can happen before 2040, 50.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, where the fleet in the country is electric vehicles.
Yeah.
Banning the actual sales is different.
Yeah.
So that's all new vehicles rolling off the manufacturing production lines or being imported. That can be done quite quickly.
Mm.
That, you know, and having that ambition by 2035 is very possible in South Africa.
Yeah.
All we need to do is, you know, the government regulation needs to come to the party.
100%.
So how do we beat these, you know, carbon emission targets?
Yeah.
If we don't have regulation to stimulate the consumer market,
100%.
You know, yeah. You can make a rule. Doesn't mean that people are going to, you know, necessarily take it up. The
yeah.
consumer, that is, because
yeah, yeah.
at the end of the day, the consumer and where they spend their money is in is what's going to control the market.
Yeah, agreed. And that's the last great story. Moving on to the last thing is, since we're on this topic, shifting away from the new energy vehicle conversation, what do you think is best between petrol and diesel? Very, very, very simple question. With the most broad potential answers. But in your opinion,
so
what's better?
So diesel is the most efficient fuel.
Yeah.
In terms of burning it in a vehicle, right? Yeah. It's to my understanding more energy dense than petrol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. However, when it is burnt, creates more carbon emissions.
Diesel than
petrol, unless you have things like catalytic converters to capture those emissions and to reduce them.
Yeah.
But other than that, diesel is a more efficient fuel.
Diesel is a more efficient fuel. Okay. Yeah, okay, no, I agree with that, yes. So diesel will go further, essentially.
Yes.
Okay.
1 liter of diesel will take you further in a diesel-powered vehicle than what petrol will.
100%. Okay, no, I fully agree with that. So if you're in the market to buy a car and you're thinking about fuel efficiency, then diesel was
that's why diesel kind of like sold so well.
Why would you go for petrol rather?
I think in the past diesel had this efficiency draw. So vehicles went further on diesel, but on the negative side, it was noisy.
Yeah, and dirty. Yeah.
So, you know, had smoke out the tailpipe until they started with the catalytic converters and, you know, making those more efficient and the engines got quieter.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess to the research, there are pros and cons, and I think maybe we'll just drop a link to an article which speaks to those. But right now, George, that's pretty much all the time I have available with you today. Thank you so much.
Cheers. See you next time. Go Alonso. search.
Orchard Trader.